Hey, greetings, everybody. It's Brother Tupos with Sister Street Preaching. Amen.
Hello, everybody. Hopefully you're doing well.
Yeah, hey, we had a good day today. I want to bring your edification audio. Sister Amen, did we go out in the streets today to preach the gospel?
Oh, we did. And there were, what do they use that word, throngs.
Oh, yeah, there was
piles,
a lot.
Masses of people.
Yeah, there was probably 10,000 people at this event.
Yeah, it was
lines and lines and scores and scores. And
yeah,
it was an awesome event. It turned out to be probably one of the most peaceful preaches we've done.
Yeah, kind of strange.
Yeah, no police involved. None of the event organizers threatened us. We had to leave, so that was awesome. We had the usual mockers that come and go. That's not a problem. We got to withstand them. Got to talk to a bunch of seekers.
Right, and I want to say about the mockers and stuff, for some reason, they were, like, more low-key and not quite as many. They were just kind of, like, oblivious.
Yeah.
Or, I don't know. It was
a different,
pretty mellow one. Yeah.
It was different, yeah.
Yeah, so it was awesome. And we only parked, like, maybe a block and a half away.
We were thankful for the outcome of this. Yeah, and we got to preach to thousands of people. And, again, there were some good seekers, some young people. And we'll be putting our preach up probably either tomorrow or Monday. We got a lot going on tomorrow too.
Right.
And we might get it up Monday, and we got some video. We got video and audio, so it was awesome.
Yeah, it was. God was glorified, and we always learn a lot through these.
Yep, we
it
do.
Either strengthens us or emboldens us, or I don't know. There's so many different things it does that we learn from these.
What a glorious thing we get to do. Go out, lift up Christ crucified, warn the people. People know the world is headed for destruction and more sin and war and all of that, and to go and give people the answer and the hope for the seekers that will hear. It's a pretty glorious thing we get to do. We do a prophet's job. We're not prophets, but we do a prophet-like job. Go into the world, preach the good news, call people to repentance. Yeah, we got to rebuke some people, and yeah, we're hated, and we're teaching and preaching the oracles of God. So we do a prophet-like job. We're messengers of God. The prophets were messengers as well. So it's a glorious thing we get to do. It's quite a weight and quite a burden, meaning you deal with a lot of people. You see a lot of people that mock and turn away. Men today telling me, I know I'm going to hell. I mean, you look at a neighbor that you love and you hear a man tell you, I know I'm going to hell and I don't care.
Oh, I know.
That's just like a hard thing to even focus on.
It is, yeah.
But it is a fact, and God will be glorified if he decides to go to hell. But I gave him the gospel.
Yeah.
One man said that to me, and he was kind of a mocker, but I said, can I preach the gospel to you? And he stood there and listened, and I preached the whole gospel to him. And he went from being like an angry wolf. He looked like a little puppy when I left him, and he was just standing there when I preached the gospel. And I said, that's what you need. You need to repent of that. Check out my website sometime, and I can help you. And he was just kind of standing there looking at me, and I just kind of walked away and kept preaching. So,
you know what it makes me think of?
What?
Faith comes by hearing.
Yeah.
Hearing the word of God.
He stood and he heard.
He really come down. He came down.
He came down. Yeah. He was a mocker and he came down. So we got to be spirit-led. Some mockers never come down. Some mockers we can talk to and get truth into them that maybe you can use later. So.
Yeah, he wasn't like one of those aggressive in your face kind of things.
He was
pretty mellow.
He was mellow. He just came over and said, I don't agree with you and why you're here and all this kind of stuff. And one guy got in my face, and I just stood there and looked at him. He said, who do you think you are here at this festival? You need to shut up. And I just stood there and looked at him. Yeah, I'm talking to you, he said. I just stood there and looked at him. And then I just went back to preaching, and he just turned around and left.
Yeah, if you don't engage a lot of them, they just kind of turn around. They'll do their thing for a little while, and then they get tired of it and walk off.
Yep, had one young teenager look like a mocker following me around, and ended up witnessing to him and his friend. Both took the gospel. They listened, took cards. They listened to the gospel, and they said, you've really informed us. Thank you so much. We're going to look into your website. So that was awesome. I thought he was a mocker to begin with, and the truth of God kind of gripped him and turned him right around.
Yeah, it's awesome.
Yeah,
there were a handful of people who liked to or wanted to talk and were seekers. And
got to talk to a nice Roman Catholic couple. They actually listened to truth.
Yeah, not yet. I was surprised they didn't get mad.
No, no.
You know, usually Roman Catholics, they like flick their hand at you, like, get out of here, and then they walk off. But they kind of listened. He was still smiling.
So it was a good day. It was a good day.
Yeah, God was glorified.
Amen. Sister Amen, what else is on your mind today besides our preach that we did?
Well, this is part of it.
Okay.
I heard this twice today. I thought it was really unusual. A woman came by in a little scooter chair. I think I have this on audio. And she said, Jesus is free. And I had to ask her again because I couldn't hear her. And she said, Jesus is free. I said, what exactly do you mean? She said, it's free. He's free. You just believe in him. And so I shared with her on that. And another man walked by, and he said it two times. The first time I couldn't hear again. They always talk in my bad ear.
With all the noise going on,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, and he said, Jesus is free. He said the exact same thing she did, and they weren't even of the same age. So I thought maybe they knew each other or something. And he said it twice, and he just kind of looked at me, and he turned around and walked off. Mm. So I don't know, is this like a new movement or something? But if somebody said to you, Jesus is free, what would you say?
Jesus is free. Well, I know what they're talking about. They're talking about, I'm sure, and a man brought this up today, Ephesians 2, where it says it's a free gift of God, not of works, lest any man can boast. Mm-hmm. So that's what they're talking about. So it's absolutely what Christ did for us, which we can't do for ourselves, his death, burial, and resurrection, his perfect life lived to be the Lamb of God for the sins of the world. We can't do it. We can't earn that. It's a free gift. So they are right that Jesus is a free gift given of the Father. Where they're wrong is that there is a great cost to follow him mm-hmm. and apply that gift to your life. So right. It's kind of like if somebody says, I'll give you, I always use this example. If somebody says to you, I'll give you this company and it's free, it's worth $1 million. And you go, what? And they go, yeah, you can have this company. I don't want it no more. It's worth $1 million. I'll sign it over to you. It's free. And you go, well, yeah, I'll take it. And they go, oh, by the way, it's in Alaska. You got to go move up there and run it. You got to sell your house. You got to move your whole family. You got to give up everything to go and get that free company. Jesus says, my salvation is a free gift to you, but you must lose your life to come and follow it, to apply it to your life. So right. He is free, but we have an action to take to enter the blood covenant with him.
Amen.
How does that sound?
Oh, yeah, definitely. And I just thought that was kind of an unusual thing to say.
Yeah.
Two people saying it in
yeah,
the same
that is
day.
Weird. Yeah. And one other guy brought up Ephesians 2 to me, too. So, yeah, that is kind of strange.
Oh, yeah, they do that a lot. How about this one? I heard this from two people also. This is strange. Well, this isn't strange, but it's strange to hear it from
right.
the same day from different people. An older man walked up to me, and he said, I just have a word of wisdom for you. And I said, well, can I give you some wisdom with a gospel card? He said, no, but I want to tell you, I'm a God, you're a God, and we're all a God.
Was he a young man, kind of looked like a hippie?
Oh, no, he was older.
Oh,
when I say older,
that's
I'm talking
crazy.
Like maybe in our
I had a young guy look like a hippie, came up to me and said, I got something to tell you. And I just kept preaching. I said, I'll talk to you in a minute, sir. He goes, I'm a God. And he walked away really weird. So it was strange.
Oh, I know.
Yeah, you
weird.
Saw an older man do that. I saw a younger hippie man do that.
Yeah, that is weird. And what would be your response to that? Because the man walked off on me. I know what I would say, but the man walked off on me.
He said, I'm a God?
Yeah, he said, I'm a God. You're a God. We're all a God.
Oh, yeah. No, that's called paganism, because the pagans and many other false religions believed in multiple gods, plural gods. The Bible tells us that in the Old Testament, the Father says, I am God alone, and there is none with me. There is only one. The Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit exhibit the three parts of the Godhead, but he is one. Jesus said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. And so there is one God, and there's no other gods. Now, there's little g gods, like Satan is called a god of the world. Jesus did mention that some people were considered gods, but if you look up that word, they were governors and leaders
yeah.
of people and regions. But when it comes to God, there is the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning and the end. There is no one else with him. There's only one.
Yeah, I think the Word of Faith people like to use that verse in there with the little g gods proclaiming everybody.
You shall become
gods.
Like gods. Yeah, they twist that scripture verse all over.
Yeah, there was another one too. Did you hear this one?
Now that
we're talking about
Sister Amma and I sometimes witness like 100 feet apart. We can see each other, but we get to witness to different people that way.
Yeah, and you probably heard this today. God is a lie.
Older
people say
I did
this.
Hear that. Yep,
man walked by and he stuck his face right in mine and he said, God is a lie, and he walked off.
Yep. Yeah, I heard a couple of people walk by and go, what other fairy tales do you believe in? And so people say things like that.
Right. You know, this is interesting because I was thinking this today. When we first started doing this.
Preaching or today?
I'm sorry. Preaching in the beginning, you know, a few years ago, you know, doing this, you know, on a full-time, well, I don't know, time goes by.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't know how long we've been doing this.
Right.
But anyway, when we first, a while back, just several years ago, I don't recall people saying there is no God, God's a lie, they don't believe in him. It was all mostly religious people claiming their sin and right. grace and all this other stuff. Now we're getting like this bigger wave of people who yeah. don't even believe in a creator, or like this, like the Scientologist yep. we met, or another man that he told me that he just believes in energies and spirits and powers.
Yeah. New Age paganism is way on the rise, and I suppose yeah. atheism's on the rise. Science and evolution has created a lot of atheism, which it's not based in any truth. It's just a man-made false philosophy. But yeah, there is more and more of it.
And it's interesting because we hear that more from the older people.
Yeah, that is interesting.
The older people in our generation or older that society seem to still have a little bit of a semblance of God's morals.
Yeah.
You know, that we're in society.
Well, we've been
saying
that for a while. We're seeing the middle age and the older people turned over, oftentimes the most angry, oftentimes in sin. And we're seeing the 20-somethings and the teenagers and even younger. They're still unwritten slates that God can still write on. So it's interesting that we see that.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what is the answer to that in Scripture, but I do see that happening out there. And God seems to be opening the eyes of young people and the older people. It seems to be closing their eyes because they're so, well, God will turn people over.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
When you've had decades to come to the truth and you don't, God may turn you over. I'll give it to some of these young people that are coming up. So that's a pretty glorious thing.
It is.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's encouraging that not the whole generation coming up is going to be dead.
Amen.
I mean, many will, but...
Amen. Anything else, Sister Roman? I know you got some other points.
Well, I do have another one. We're talking about it this morning about how there's so many companies out there looking for... This is kind of off the topic of witnessing. It's about society. So many companies out there looking for people to work.
Yeah.
And I was thinking Matthew 20... Oh, I think, let's see, Matthew 20, verses 3, 5, and 6. And he went out about the third hour and saw others standing in the standing idle in the marketplace. And this is 5. And again, he went out on the 6th and 9th hour and did likewise. And about the 11th hour, he went out and found others standing idle and saith unto them, why stand ye here all day idle? And I was just kind of getting the general gist of this, you know. We see people standing there waiting to work, and he hires them. But today, there's like nobody wants to work, and it's really hard.
Few.
You know, it's like a throwaway, selfish, do everything for me kind of society, and it's really hard to find anybody to work. And the Bible says, if you don't work, you don't eat.
Yeah, amen.
Yeah,
so. I'm thankful to know some young brothers that are hard workers, and they labor hard. But a lot of young men don't labor hard. And this is serious stuff, because in 2 Thessalonians 3, Paul says, if a man doesn't work, don't even eat with him, that he may be ashamed.
Yeah.
So it's a serious sin. Laziness, Paul says in other places in Timothy, that if a man doesn't take care of his family, he's worse than an infidel, which is an unbeliever.
Yeah, it just kind of shows you just another aspect of the darkness that's coming.
Yeah.
You know, just the signs, you know, because we talk about it to keep people
warm. The government has, and people have become so entitled to things. They want handouts. They they want easy money. They want to get a college education, never work, and pay for my college education, by the way. And a lot of sin, a lot of selfism, and the work ethic, and actually, it dishonors God, because when man sinned, well, first, God created Adam, and his first Adam was supposed to be a farmer, hard worker, tend the garden.
Yep.
And then after man sinned, God said, now you're going to toil and you're going to sweat at your brow and have all kinds of issues. And man doesn't want to do that. Man doesn't want to sweat and toil anymore.
No, they don't. You know what we see is a lot of young people, or younger, maybe a little older than young, living with their parents, like living off them.
So they don't have to
not
be responsible.
With them, but off them.
Yeah. It is a sad thing, yeah.
Yeah, if you're going to be living with your parents, you ought to be, like, helping.
Right.
Not just, like, mooching off
of
them.
Yep, yep. Yeah, amen.
Yeah. And then there was just another point when you were on the brother's call the other night when one of them said, it's not enough to just avoid the enemy and avoid your sin. Because otherwise you're just going to, if you just run away from your sin and you don't run to Christ
right.
and be with him, you're in the middle, and you're just as better off, or you're just as bad off as you are in your sin.
Yeah.
You're not any better off running away from your sin unless you're with Christ.
Yeah, you're right. So you're in sin, you run off into a dark area somewhere, and rather than run into Christ, you end up disconnected even further away, perhaps.
Yeah.
And yeah, sometimes that can put you in a more dangerous place. So the key is always to run to the Lord and to the Word and seek after the Spirit of God. I'm not sure why people don't get that. It's all part of Satan's deception, I guess. Flesh. People think there's another way around it, but there isn't. Christ is the only way.
There's a way that seems right to a man, and what happens?
Yeah, he goes, leads to death.
Today on the street.
It leads to death.
Yeah, and then I didn't know if you had anything.
Yeah, I was talking about, thinking about how when you have a body of believers, that there's always things going on. Good things, a lot of good things.
We know it,
and then there's always things inside the body that you have to help people with, deal with things. And I guess there was a script, section of scripture here, and Apostle Paul kind of deals with that, kind of tells who Paul is, and at the end is really kind of drives it home. But 2 Corinthians 11:23-28, they are ministers of Christ. I speak as a fool. I am more in labors more abundant, in stripes above measure, in prisons more frequent, in death often. Of the Jews, 5 times I received 40 stripes, save one. Thrice I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. Thrice I was shipwrecked. A night and a day I've been in the deep, in journeys often, in perils of water, in perils of robbers, in perils of my own countrymen, in perils by the heathen, in perils by the city, in perils by the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness, painfulness, and watchings, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness. Paul goes all through that. And then he says, besides those things which are without, that which cometh upon me daily, the care of the ecclesia of the bodies of Christ.
Yeah.
So Paul had a lot of woes and a lot of trials. So anybody that doesn't have to go through all the physical things he went through, but still tries to care and look after saints in a body-like setting, it's a lot of effort. It's a lot of emotions. It's a lot of striving for truth. It's a lot of trying to figure people out, trying to figure out what they did, why they did, how they did it.
To understand it, right?
To understand, to then help them.
Yeah.
Trying to section people off at times so they're not bringing leaven in the body. So it's just a constant care for the bodies. We see it in Paul. And anybody that has a body and anybody that cares about the body, everybody's always trying to bring that care to other people. Does that make sense?
Oh, yeah. And I was thinking about how you really got to kill the flesh and walk in the Spirit, because when it comes to the body and you love the body and you work with people, you know, you got to make sure you're not walking in the flesh and either like being partial or too harsh.
Right.
You know, one or the other, you have to walk in the Spirit to try to do it. And it can be really,
it can be like surgery. You got to do it. You know, you got to do it. But if you do it wrong, it can cost a lot.
Right.
If you don't do it, it can cost a lot.
Exactly,
so it's going to be surgery to go in and strategically remove the issues and the problems, but not harm the person.
Yeah.
And so it's quite a challenge.
Use the word. Yeah, you skillfully use that sword to slice
where
it needs to be. Yeah.
Amen, yeah. But it's a glorious thing to know other true saints, as few as they are, and to actually have unity with other people. And then the people that you have unity with and everything goes great, it makes you cherish them even more. And then when you see people that struggle, maybe they come, maybe they go, then you look at people that are really pulling their weight in the Lord, and you see the value of faithful saints.
Right.
Paul always was praising faithful saints. Priscilla and Aquila risked their neck for me. And the people that are in this house church and people in this house church, he's always praising the men and the women that were helping him. So that's a glorious thing to know people like that.
Yeah, it's encouraging and strengthening.
Amen.
Yeah, yeah. We don't want to have our focus on just that. It's Christ, because if somebody does fall or turn away, we don't want to cave in or crumble.
Amen. Amen.
Right.
Do you have anything else to throw in, scripture verse?
I do have a scripture verse here.
All right.
This is my ending verse. Ephesians 5:14-17. Wherefore he saith, awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. See then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is.
I like that, circumspectly.
Yeah.
That's awesome. Tomorrow, we are hoping. What are we going to do tomorrow, Sister Almond?
A couple religious places we might stand out and shine the light of truth. And
we found a couple good options where we can be right close to some of these religious buildings while still being on a public sidewalk and not intruding on anyone's religious service, but stand on a street and see if there's any seekers that want to talk about and test the biblical gospel. You know, when we go in the streets, it's always amazing to me what the world believes. That's not surprising. I mean, they're atheists, they're, you know, Hindus, all that stuff. It's craziness what the world believes. So-called Christians. I mean, they walk up, they don't have any clue what the gospel is. They don't understand. One man today, a large, obese, heavyset man, was telling me that it's absolutely fine to be in the world and sample all the king's dainties and do whatever you want. Jesus didn't say we didn't have to. And when I have to leave the world, and I said, Jesus said his sheep aren't of the world. He said, well, you drive a car, you're worldly. They have no spiritual discernment. And it's amazing to me how when we go and stand out religious bodies, how they're so void of the very book and the truth of God that they claim faith in.
Yeah, every once in a while we see a person carrying their Bible into church.
Not too often, but yeah. A lot of people use them on their phone now. Like, I use my phone a lot, too.
Oh, yeah, that's true. Yeah, good
but
point.
But even the people carrying their Bibles, it's like you can't get them to open it.
Yeah, well, so that's true. If everybody's got it on their phone, or if most people do, they certainly aren't even digging that
out. It should be easy. When I preach, I go, hey, any man, why don't you bring the Word of God to me on your phone right now? And they don't.
No.
Because the Word of God is not on their side. So tomorrow we're going to go and stand outside a couple religious events, and we'll see how that goes. And then
we will... a bunch of people we saw today.
Yeah. And we had a really good gathering with some brothers and sisters on the phone today and talked about a lot of things. We got a bunch of audios going up in the Ecclesia room gathering area, so that'll bless you. And then tomorrow we're gathering again, and we're going to go over more topics. So there's always stuff to keep going over in the body of Christ, and we're training. I'm doing a teaching on it tomorrow. I think I'm going to finally get to it on Ephesians 4:12 on the purpose of the body, training up the saints for ministry. So
we're going to be plenty of work to do.
Yep, we're going to be working on that. So, good Lord willing, that's what we'll be doing tomorrow if the weather holds. And then the following weekend we have a really big event. We'll be talking about that. Probably the biggest number of people we preach at of any event will be going on a week from tomorrow, a week from yesterday, and we'll talk about that some, and our young brother Akuo is going to be with us preaching at that.
I never thought of that. That's one of the biggest ones. That was one of the first ones we ever went
to. Oh, yeah. Yeah,
and
there
it's
is.
One of the biggest ones, but it's like, I don't know, you just kind of go and you just do it and don't even realize how many people it's like.
Yeah, in 2 days, there's 250,000 people that walk by this place. In 2 days.
Yeah, and this is a tiny,
little
tiny
town.
Little town. In the middle of the country where you get to drive quite a ways to get to. And people go there.
We've preached at Super Bowls before, and there's only like 50, 60, 70,000 people at Super Bowls. This is 250,000 people that come by. I was telling a brother, it's pretty intimidating when you first go there as a street preacher because you expect like little bursts of people. This is like wave and wave of people that never stops, and you never get a break to stop preaching because it's like people everywhere.
We love it
And so we're gonna get to go to that, so we're kind of excited if the Lord wills that. And then won't be long after that we'll be headed south. We're migrant nomad street preachers, so when the winter comes here, we go south, and there's a whole bunch of preaching down in the southern places.
Yeah, and what'd we see today? Migrating?
We saw
a whole bunch of geese.
We saw geese lining up to head on their migration. We will be heading on ours soon, if the Lord wills.
Yeah, they're so awesome how they form that V, and then they honk. It's like they're encouraging one another. So I don't know if that's what it is, but it sounds like it to me. So I don't know. And then that lead will go in the back.
Yep,
he breaks. They like take turns.
He breaks
it's
air
amazing.
For the first one, and then he breaks the wind, and then they keep fading back and taking turns so they can just keep flying.
Yeah, it's phenomenal.
Yep.
Kind of like, you know, the body of Christ is stepping up and helping each other and encouraging, and
the Father's creation.
Yeah, it's amazing.
I just have one scripture verse to share. It's kind of a long one, but I thought it was kind of interesting. Micah 7:1-7, talking about a man and looking at people. And then in the end, he looks at God. Ready? Woe is me, for I, as when they have gathered the summer fruits, as the grape gleanings of the vintage, There is no cluster to eat. My soul is desiring the first striped fruit. A good man that perisheth out of the earth, and there is none upright among men. None upright among men. They all lie in the wait for blood. They hunt every man his brother with a net, that they may do evil with both hands earnestly. The prince asketh, and the judge asketh for a reward, and the great man, he uttereth his mischievous desire, so they wrap it up. The best of them is as a briar. The most upright is sharper than a thorn hedge. The day of thy watchman and thy visitation cometh. Now shall be their perplexity. Trust ye not in a friend. Put not confidence in a guide. Keep the doors of thy mouth from her that lieth in the bosom. For the son dishonoreth the father. The daughter rise against her mother. The daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. A man's enemies are the men of his own house. Jesus talked about that, didn't he? Yeah. Verse 7. After all of that, he talks about all the wickedness of men, all the wickedness of these people. You can't count on them. Don't look to them. I love this. Verse 7. Wherefore, I will look upon the Lord. I will wait for the God of my salvation. My God will hear me.
Ooh, I like that.
Yeah, I like that. So just kind of, I wanted to read that. If people ever let you down.
Yeah.
And you ever get discouraged, don't keep looking at people, because we all are flawed and imperfect. While we're supposed to be complete and mature, we are flawed and imperfect. People will let you down. Look to Christ. Look to the Lord. Wait upon him, and he will lift you up in time.
Yeah, I love that.
Yeah. Just a lesson for us all.
It is.
What you focus on will magnify. Keep your focus on the Lord.
Amen.
Anything else, Sister Drummond?
No, that was good. Yeah. Well, yeah, I always want to send love to my sisters.
Yeah. Yeah, that's an awesome thing. Love to all the brothers and sisters out there. And check out don'tperish.com. Check out the Ecclesia Gathering. We're always adding new resources there for you. And we'll have our street preach up from today, and we'll have the church preaches up soon to edify you. You see seekers getting the gospel. You'll see people getting a rebuke when they need it. And most important, you'll see Christ being glorified in the streets. The word preach, I'll leave you with this, is not a guy in a pulpit on Sunday. The word preach means public crier. Go forth, lift up your voice, and tell the truth of God. That's what we long to do, right, Sister Drummond?
Yeah, we do. As soon as you said that, I was thinking about this. My voice isn't very loud, even though I lifted up and a man walked by. He said, "You need to get a megaphone." I said, "No, sir, I don't." I said, "If anybody wants to hear what I have to say, they'll come over and talk to me." And he said, "You got a good point."
Yeah, amen, amen. You do good, Sister Amin. You got to talk. Sister Amin, I have a great, great system we use. I usually walk ahead of her maybe 50 feet and street preach. And a lot of people, maybe I'm too bold, you know, they say, "Oh, I'm not going to stop him, not going to bother him." And they walk past me and they go talk to Sister Amin.
Yeah, and then, I can be saying the same things, but it's just a little bit different,
right?
Because, yeah.
Yeah, and they talk to her, and then if it's a man, I'll come swing around and talk to him. So
yeah.
It works really good because they kind of get the both. Maybe like the Bible says, the goodness, the severity of God. They might look at me as a little bit severe, but they look at Sister Amin and go, maybe I'll talk to her, and she's going to tell them the same exact truth of the gospel, give them the same card, but...
Right.
I think that has a little bit to say about Paul, become all things to all people.
Oh, exactly, yeah. And
think
I do,
about that.
I do try to often engage people.
Yeah.
You know, and ask them as
entreat
they walk
them.
By and talk to them and
yeah.
stuff. So, and it's all of the Lord.
We try to win people for the gospel. That's why we're out there.
Yeah.
Yeah,
yeah, exactly.
Amen, amen. Praise so, God. Yeah, go forth, live for the Lord, and as I said, preach the gospel. That's a public crier. Go forth with a good gospel card. You can't buy them. Make one and go out and share the gospel. The world needs the life-saving gospel of Jesus Christ and the call to come out of the world, come out of the church, seek after him because he is so worthy.
Amen.
We love you all. Till next time. May God be praised.
Amen.